In a few minutes, we'll meet the latest artist to be featured at the Fayetteville Underground. His sculpture elicits a variety of responses. But first, a look at some of the other visual art exhibits around the region.
What does your idea of hope look like? The Fort Smith Regional Art Museum is asking and partnering with the Ozark affiliate of Susan G. Komen to issue a call for works. The invitation period ends Sunday and is open to artists of all ages, backgrounds, and artistic ability. Submissions can be any media, and all works will be part of a silent auction on Thursday, October 24th from 5 until 7 p.m. Works will be on view at the RAM through November. The exhibit is a fundraiser, and all proceeds from sales will benefit the Ozark affiliate of Susan G. Komen and RAM's educational programs.
This Land, Picturing a Changing America in the 1930s and the 1940s, continues to be available to be on view at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. Artists during this time responded to and documented the hardships of the Depression era in a variety of styles and media. This exhibit features some 45 paintings, drawings, prints, and photographs from a crucial era in American history. This Land is accompanied by a musical audio tour featuring folk music by regional artists curated by the Fayetteville Roots Festival. The tour is available as a free app. It's downloadable from the iTunes App Store. No special tickets are required. There is no admission fee, though space is limited in the exhibition area. Therefore, admission is on a first-come, first-served basis.
Local artist Gregory Moore calls trash made into treasures reclaimed surfaces. Moore's exhibit of multimedia pieces consists of found objects, which are mundane discarded objects created for a non-art use that he has repurposed into surfaces for his paintings. Moore paints on pieces of rusted, dented metal in ways that do not obscure their original texture and color. He seeks objects that are unique in their configurations of stains, rust, and damage, and allows those characteristics to guide each painting. Reclaimed Surfaces is on display in the lobby area of Mullins Library on the University of Arkansas campus through the end of October.
Main Street in Eureka Springs welcomes a new art gallery. Eureka Fine Art Gallery showcases the work of founding artists Drew Gentle, Diana Harvey, Ernie Kilman, Larry Mansker, Charles Pierce, Barbara Robinson, Denise Ryan, and John Robert Willer, plus eight other local artists. Eureka Fine Art Gallery is open from 10 until 5. They're closed on Wednesdays. For more information, you can call 363-6000.
The Art Center of the Ozarks welcomes the 11th annual 5x5 exhibition. Local artists take 5x5-inch canvases or boxes to create art of their choosing. The works will be on view beginning October 10th with a soiree November 7th, at which time the 5x5 pieces will be auctioned off as a fundraiser for the ACO. For tickets or more information, visit artcenteroftheozarks.org.
Christina Thomas visit to the Fayetteville Underground in just a moment, but one more visual arts event to tell you about. The Shed, which is located on West Center Street in Fayetteville, will host an opening reception for new works by local artist Ethan Fowler, consisting of sculptural pieces and works on paper. The Shed is open by appointment. If you want to know more, you can go, well, you can send an email to thesheddfayetteville@gmail.com.
And that reception is Friday from 6 to 9.
That's correct.
Sculpture is the art of carving, modeling, welding, or otherwise producing figurative or abstract works of art in three dimensions. Typically, we think of sculptures as being made from granite, bronze, plaster, or wood. But what about hot glue? This month's show at the Fayetteville Underground includes Flowers and Worms, a three-piece work by artist Robert Lemming. Robert says what a piece is made of really isn't that important, but rather what an artist is wanting to do and what material is best to accomplish that. This was a piece that he wanted to play with light.
Hot glue, in the instance of the three that I have up here, of the Flowers and Worms piece, that hot glue is very translucent. It has a memory to it. It's flexible, it's kind of alive, and it was just one of those things, like I would be doing another project and I'd have this like hot glue gun or something, I have this big wad of hot glue, and that's kind of a faux pas material to use. And I always, you know, and to me it's more of a concern of what am I trying to get. And so sometimes I'll work in foam, sometimes I'll work in acrylic, sometimes I'll paint, you know, it's not really specific.
On a back wall of the underground gallery, the translucent works hang and stick out from the wall, framed by light both from behind and in front. The pieces are large, and at first glance look like a flower, perhaps an iris or an orchid, with long tendrils dangling from the centers of each. The petals of the flowers are made from molds that Robert made from trace fossils he had found. He was intrigued by them and took them to the geosciences department at the University of Arkansas to identify.
They look like vegetation. That's what I thought they were. And they're called fucoid structures. And that's kind of a false name because fucoid is actually an algae. And they look very much like something you'd see on a seabed. And while they're related to the ocean, they're related to things that were crawling on the bottom of the ocean 325 million years ago. But if you were to look at it, you're looking at this basically a rock, a natural cast, and you see something that looks like a vegetable. It was something that looks like flora or fauna. And all of a sudden, you know, realizing that it was actually bottom feeders, like it was actually much more of a kind of a visceral, different approach had made this beautiful thing that made me question it all.
He says that was what interested him, that movement could create an object, and that when you think about art, it is sometimes just a series of movements, like a brushstroke. As he originally saw something plant-like in the fossils, he knew he wanted to do something with vegetation and made two molds. One about a square foot in size, the other about 3 inches wide and a foot long.
I would make casts of them, and I'd have these drawings, and I'd just lay these casts out literally on my bed and just kind of arrange them and just trust myself to kind of find what I thought I wanted and what was actually working and then kind of devise something to make them all connect.
Robert isn't really sure how many glue sticks he used, having bought up all the local hardware stores had to offer before learning he could buy them in bulk on the internet. He says it's more about how many pounds of glue he used.
And after I'd made that first cast, I just tried it, just injected it with hot glue and took it out. But yeah, each one of those components, like, they're just depending on how thick they had to be structural. It was took a lot. And then all the blending areas, all the areas where they bonded or where I created, like there's tendrils, and the tendrils are things that I had to create. So there was a lot of like learning to work with it and learning to blend it in and make them all kind of join strong and look like cohesive.
Those tendrils could be a play on the worm-like creatures who created the trace fossils, or the stigma of an actual flower. He literally shot hot glue from a hot glue gun and into the molds. The amount of light that shows through depends on the thickness of the glue. He was able to pop the pieces in and out of the molds to check for holes or area that light wasn't coming through very well.
The reason there's areas where it's really dense or the color changes is sometimes because they got superheated so many times where they were bonded or because it was just so thick. The thicker it gets, the more opaque it gets. And so like I try to make like the more wispier end pieces be just a little bit thinner and just keep that, you know, kind of that lightness to it. But once you get to the base or the body, you can see that there's natural color changes that happen that were really kind of a pleasant surprise. You know, it was just kind of a result of the process. I think by the third one I'd done, I'd realized, which is the one on the far left, I'd realized what it was doing and I could kind of predict it more.
It was always an experiment, and Robert says he just wanted to see if he could do it. Numerous people had told him that working with hot glue was a bad idea, but he saw the pieces in his head and he knew he could make it work.
That's all I want to do when I create art is I think of what fascinates me and what do I want to see. So there's like this very selfish motivation initially, just like what would I like to see that nobody's doing? And then that's where I start. And then hopefully, you know, people will respond to it, which thankfully, you know, more often than not, when I go pretty far off the deep end, people seem to be receptive. I don't know why. But, you know, I think we're all fascinated by things we don't quite understand. And it's like I try to make a very specific thing that you can't really put your finger on, but it's very detailed. And there's like that kind of push and pull that's really nice. It's something I've always kind of went for, even when I was just drawing.
He thinks about ambiguities in art. He has shown the piece before and noticed the response seemed to have a gender ambiguity. Men would approach him and see something gross or alien-like, and females would see the beauty of a flower. An unintentional psychological test on people because they want to make a connection and closure with the piece. He says the truth is, it's neither, rather something in between. A member of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art's preparatory team, this is Robert's first show at the Fayetteville Underground, which he says is a valid opportunity for him and a good way to communicate with the community. Samantha Sigman is the gallery manager and one of the only paid employees here. Artists are chosen by a committee vote.
Yeah, well, it was an easy vote, so it was pretty simple. We passed around some of his images, and everyone was really excited. And every time that people go around this corner, they just get so like like kind of have this little gasp because they see that, and it's just, it's really fun, and we're really taking the gallery in some interesting ways, and every month it's going to be, I think, something new and interesting, and something that you wouldn't expect in the Underground. So
gallery shows at the Underground change month to month. Samantha says this month's show includes photography, paintings, and sculpture of other material.
The month before, we have a new artist, Jeanne Vacroth, who got her BFA last year as well from the university. Yeah, and so she is a like kind of a fiber art sculptor, kind of one of those kind of mixed media installation artists that I think are taking the gallery in an interesting direction. And so she's from New Orleans, and she was a Katrina refugee, and so she went to high school with me, and she actually deals pretty directly with that kind of idea, and it's got this very kind of New Orleans feel. It's like, it's dark but beautiful at the same time, kind of like Robert's stuff is kind of grotesquely beautiful, but that's kind of what I like about it, is that in between, that kind of like, oh, this is so pretty, but oh, like that kind of thing. So that's what I like, is people really being able to go up and be like, oh, why is it like that, and really engage with what's on the wall or what's in the gallery.
Robert Lemming is the newest artist at the Fayetteville Underground. His work, Flowers and Worms, will be on view through the end of October. Samantha Sigmund is gallery manager. For more information, FayettevilleUnderground.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.